Welcome to Popular Cultural Cherry. My name is Lawin and I am your host. In this podcast, we give you an outsider's perspective about European life, culture, and pretty much anything that is connected to this continent. So get ready to learn something new in a light and entertaining way. So welcome back, everybody, to Popular Cultural Cherry. Today, we have a very special guest for you. Her name is Lian Wong. She's one of my closest friends in Europe. She's originally from Malaysia, studied and worked in Australia for several years, and now she works as a postdoc researcher in the University of Maastricht in the Netherlands. She works more in the biomedical field, which she will later on explain. What makes Lee's story very interesting and compelling is the fact that she's lived in several different countries. She's traveled a lot. And I think that combination of an Asian woman being very successful in the academic field that's very science-oriented, I think that's a combination that you won't find very often here in Europe. And I thought, in general, this interview might be very insightful for people who are maybe interested in, you know, the academic, the scientific field, doing research or whatever, because that's also another aspect of employment here in Europe. So yeah, so as always, let's go straight into the interview.
Thanks, Lawin. Of course, it's my pleasure to share my background and experiences to help anyone who is interested in academia to pursue their passions. Happy to be here.
So Lee, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself, like some background, how you got started, where you actually came from, so people can kind of, you know, understand your story.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, I was born in Malaysia, so in Kuala Lumpur, and I did my primary school, high school there, and then I moved to Australia when I was 18. And started my bachelor's degree there. So I did a bachelor's in biomedical engineering at the University of Melbourne. And then right after graduating, I worked as a research assistant in Brisbane, which is at the University of Queensland in Australia. Also, in research. So was mainly focused on like tissue engineering, regenerative medicine, which is what I was interested in. And so in the same lab, I got a scholarship to do my PhD there. So I did my PhD in bioengineering for 4 years. And then I moved back to Melbourne and started working as a postdoc in a CSIRO, which is like a manufacturing sort of facility. But that was really a good experience. I thought that was also very interesting for me because I got to started working with stem cells and gene editing. So that was kind of diverted from like my engineering side, but more into genetic engineering. So that was quite a change in, I guess, field. So that was, that was really interesting. Then I applied for a postdoc basically in a lot of places in Europe. So Netherlands wasn't my first choice, but it was like I applied for a position in Denmark, Sweden, Germany, UK. But the one in Maastricht sang to me the most because it was a lot to do with stem cells and CRISPR Cas9 gene editing, and it seemed at the time like a good place to be in the Netherlands because there seemed to be a lot of cardiac research in the Netherlands as well, so which is why I got the job, I guess, because both my current supervisors, they're really very enthusiastic about the project, and they have a very big passion in science and in regenerative medicine and in genetics. So it was basically kind of like the stepping stone to a lot of things. So
it sounds very technical as well, and if I kind of think about it to myself about these topics that you have been researching on for the past X number of years, it really reminds me a lot of X-Men, like when you say like gene editing and regenerative medicine, it's kind of like Wolverine and X-Men. What I'm curious about is actually, how did you think of getting into this very specific branch of science. Yeah, maybe you can tell us, like, what was your inspiration? Were you like a fan of the X-Men or something? Or
oh yeah, I was definitely a big fan of Avengers and X-Men. But I think my story started when I was in university, and I basically went to US to do an internship, or kind of like my exchange year, in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. And I worked under this PhD student who did cardiac tissue engineering, and it was all on cardiac research. And then, I got really fascinated because, yeah, the heart, you know, there's so much that we don't know about the heart. And then there's, you know, so many things that you can investigate. And I think right after I came back to Melbourne, then my dad had a heart attack. It made me even more aware about the whole situation, and obviously kind of inspired me to pursue a career in heart research. Yeah, that's why I did my PhD as well in cardiac engineering, because it was something that really resonated with me. So that basically started off as my inspiration and why I pursued it. But then, you know, with all these like genetic engineering, X-Men and everything, it kind of like made my purpose even more bigger. You know, like I thought, okay, I can contribute to this sort of science.
Start your own school with some mutants and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe
generate some mutants.
Generate some mutants. Sorry, I'm gonna back up a little bit, because I also am quite interested in finding out why you actually chose to study in Australia. Was that something that you wanted, or was that something your parents wanted?
So I guess that was when I was in school, and basically, I guess Australia is kind of close to Malaysia. My parents obviously wanted me to be closer to home. You know, they could have sent me to Canada or UK or US, but yeah, I guess they wanted me closer to home and gives them a reason or excuse to come and visit us, right? So I think that's why they sent us there. I think at the time when I did my pre-university course, yeah, Melbourne was really interesting. And I think I went there when I was a kid to visit my cousins and my uncle and auntie, and we were like, oh, this is actually a place I could actually live in. You know, like it seemed very multicultural. It seemed very open. So, yeah, I guess that's why I also thought, okay, I could study there for the next 4 or 5 years. But yeah, I think it was a really nice city as well. So I think that's why we chose that. But I think basically because it was closer to home at the time. But then my parents then moved to Dubai, Qatar, and, you know, they really didn't spend that much time in KL because they basically lived in 8 different countries because of my dad's job. So Australia was, I think for a bachelor's degree, I think that's really good. Like they do have really good courses. I would have probably thought I would have done my PhD elsewhere, I think. Thinking about it now, I would have probably tried to get a PhD in Europe. You know, when you think about it now, and if you could have done something differently, that's what I would have done.
Anyway, you're here now. And I wanted to just kind of to ask about your parents. So you said one of the biggest reasons why you ended up doing your bachelor's in Australia was because your parents wanted to keep an eye on you.
Basically.
with this in mind, I'm just trying to figure out what kind of parents you had. Do you think they're like the stereotypical Asian tiger parents that like really push you to, you know, do your best, get 100 in everything and be the best that you can be?
That is so true. Yep, they're definitely tiger parents. I would say my mom is definitely a tiger mom, or I will call her dragon mom, actually. because I think she definitely pushed us to do our best in everything. I mean, she would not accept a B in anything. So, oof. I mean, she would always say like straight A's or nothing, you know? Basically, growing up, I had to learn the piano. I had to get straight A's, but I also had to be like sportswoman of the year, or like be an athlete and excel in every single sport, or, you know, something like that, right? But in the end, I was like, okay, I don't really like piano. I mean, I like music, but I'm not that musical as a person. So yeah, and I did like sports. I mean, I did a lot of running, like, you know, those track events and stuff, but I really liked science a lot. So I think in school I liked all these like chemistry experiments and all these really nerdy stuff, but yeah, like biology, cutting a frog up and, you know, trying to understand the anatomy of the frog. But like I found that really interesting. I guess it just started from there, and then, you know, just built up on it. So
So basically, what you're trying to say is your parents kind of were hard on you to learn, but eventually you found it, you found interest in it, and you kind of became passionate about it. That's just what I got from your story.
Yeah, I think they really did push us to do our best, to be the best. My parents actually made us very competitive as kids. Like, you know, like you have to win, you know. But I guess I can understand, yeah, why. Or I mean, I guess parenting must be hard as well. So
yeah, we'll find out, I guess, maybe in the future.
Yeah, maybe. Oh my god. Yeah, I guess so.
So basically what happened is you did your bachelor's, master's, and PhD in Australia. And what was that transition like, coming from Malaysia and then, you know, moving over to Australia and living on your own, I guess? And
the culture shock was quite intense, I think, in the beginning. Because obviously, like, Australia is a little bit different. I mean, you know, there are a lot of different cultural things that you will, yeah, find out when you move to a new country. I guess in Malaysia, the thing is, I mean, I was in a lot of different schools as well. And there's still like inherent racism in Malaysia. But, you know, obviously you don't hear about that on the news because it's never reported. But I mean, there is still some of that in Malaysia. So it was a relief for me to leave, because I was like, all right, you know, I could get away from all this like racism in Malaysia. And Australia was a good change for me. I mean, it took a while to kind of adapt, but I think I didn't really have any issue with adapting. I really enjoyed, yeah, the transition, I think. I thought, well, for me, it was like freedom. You know, I could go out and like hang out with my friends and do whatever I want. But yeah, it was also like trying to make control of your own life as well, and your own decisions, and take responsibility. So I thought, yeah, it was a good experience to do that. Take control of your life, your studies, and then your career. So it's, yeah, it was a good learning experience for me anyway. So
I can imagine, because you said that you have like, well, a dragon mom who kind of took hold of your academic life and probably your, you know, your big decisions in life. And then you come to Australia where you have more freedom, although your parents are not very far away from you.
yeah.
But and then yeah, you do your studies there basically. And then what kind of made you decide that, you know, I no longer want to live in Australia, but I want to see how things are in Europe?
The economy and the whole system in Australia is, you know, within Australia. So I mean, there were opportunities, but you know, not long term opportunities as a postdoc researcher anyway. I mean, the contracts are like 6 months to a year, which to me, that's not favorable, because, yeah, I mean, if I want to live in a place, I want to live at least 3 to 5 years in a place, you know. So, I wanted to explore opportunities abroad in Europe, because obviously in Europe, there's all these different countries. They also have so much research and funding as well. So I thought, well, you know, why not try? Because yeah, I have all these skills and expertise now that I want to just try and apply it elsewhere. So then I applied to Maastricht, and I got this interview. I got the interviews. Like, I think I had 3 interviews with them before I accepted the job offer. I think it was a good place for me to start, because I knew that Europe had such a good foundation for all for researchers anyway. So
from Australia you come to Maastricht in the Netherlands, and again, that's a new transition. That's a different continent altogether, and that's a lot further from Malaysia, from your parents. And how was that transition? Was that an easier transition compared to when you moved from Malaysia to Australia, or is complete different experience?
It's completely different, definitely. Definitely the culture shock was greater, because it was a new culture, a new language, and people were different. You know, it's not this like warm and welcoming, and you know, they don't just greet you with open arms. But it took me maybe a year and a bit to adapt. So I would say, yeah, definitely was more shocking to me at the start. I mean, they said that, yeah, Netherlands people are more open. I can see that now compared to all the other European countries, that it is definitely more open. But at the start, it definitely took a while, because I think with the Dutch people, they're more direct, they're more in your face sort of thing. So they, you know, it's definitely different to how Australians approach things. Now I kind of understand. I'm also learning Dutch, so that helps a lot with the integration into the culture. So
I mean, at least like you can say that after a year and a half, you're kind of, you know, a bit more used to the Netherlands and you're learning the language, which I think is already really a good sign that you're willing to really integrate with society. So I think you're on the right track. I just wanted to ask something about, in terms of academe and research, how big is the actual difference of like the working environment? I'm not a science person, so I'm not in this field, but maybe just like in layman's term, like how different was, you know, working in a research institute or a lab in Australia than it was in the Netherlands, if there was any difference actually?
Yeah, so I guess Australia, it was quite laborious, because the work I do is mainly lab work, so it's basically publish and perish, and send your data to your boss on a Sunday evening sort of thing. So it's very intense, and I've done days where I had to be in the lab like 7 days a week for like 6 months, and that's normal apparently. But at least in Netherlands, you know, you could take days off and you can, you know, kind of do all your work, finish the project, and then take some time off. That's what the Dutch people usually do, and that's, they really value the time off, and they have like vacation days that you have to take time off. Whereas in Australia, we get like 2 weeks of holiday a year. That's it.
Oh,
and that's normal.
That.
Yeah, and that's normal. Like for them, it's like 2 weeks. Oh, really? Can't you just do 1 week of holiday? Like, you know, that's what my boss would tell me. And I'm like, and he would expect us to work over Christmas as well, which I think that's crazy. So I feel like in terms of work-life balance, Netherlands is definitely very in for work-life balance. They support that a lot. Whereas Australia, especially, well, in Australia, in my group anyway, in the research group I was working in, they were not really favorable of taking time off. I mean, they really look down on people taking time off, which is crazy, actually. I mean, everyone has a right to have some time off, but there, it's a completely different culture over there. Leave and work-life balance and things like that. So
honestly, that's something I can relate to, because also I'm somewhere here, and in Germany is not so different in terms of work-life balance, I think, from the Netherlands. So I understand what you mean. That's one of like the really big upsides of living in this part of the world. But yeah, so you mentioned, you know, you're trying to get more integrated into Dutch society, but at the same time, you're also from Australia and Malaysia. And how do you see yourself in the future? Is the Netherlands a stepping stone to somewhere else? Or is Malaysia really your home? Or is Australia really your home? Because now that you've been kind of, you know, around the world, seeing different places, I don't know, how do you see yourself?
So, yeah, that's a very interesting question, because, like, yeah, obviously, you know, working at different places and experiencing different work environments and different lifestyles, I still ask myself that question a lot. But I think I'll probably end up in Belgium, probably staying there closer to Steyn's family, because Steyn is also Belgian. So it makes sense to move there and be closer to his family. But also in terms of the work environment, I would say if I could maybe transition out of academia into industry in the near future, I don't know when, but in the near future would be great. And also, like, obviously, because I've traveled, when I first moved to Europe, I basically traveled to like so many countries. It opened my eyes to so many things. It really tells me that maybe, you know, staying in Europe long term would be good for me. So I guess Australia would be a place where I go to visit my family. But I think maybe, yeah, Netherlands or Belgium would be where I would live permanently. So I think that's the plan for the future. So.
Yeah, so by the way, Lee mentioned Steyn. Steyn is Lee's boyfriend, and he's Belgian. That's why Lee wants to eventually move to Belgium. It is quite, I'd say, a special case that you have, right? Coming from Malaysia, studying in Australia, ending up in the Netherlands. And if, you know, there are other young girls right now who are also considering, you know, a career in academe. Let's say they're from, I don't know, Malaysia or the Philippines or whatever. Any tips that you would want to give them in, you know, in pursuit of this kind of career that you have?
As a teenager, it's very hard to define what you want academically because, you know, there's so many types of areas you could be interested in. I mean, there, you know, there's arts, there's physics, there's chemistry, there's biology, but there's also like design and, you know, the fields are endless, right? But I think it's really important to know at the beginning what your interest is and how to pursue it. When I was in university, it took me a while to understand what I really wanted to do. But I think by the time I graduated, I had an idea what I really wanted to do. I think it's really good to define your goals as early as you can, but then work towards your goals or try to gain as much experience as you can towards achieving that goal. So I think even if you can get experience or do, you know, with an internship overseas or just working in a lab as a research assistant for a few years, I mean, it gives you some kind of indication or some kind of an idea of what you want with your career. So yeah, to find out early on is definitely important.
There's one thing that's super interesting about Lee is that she's the type of person who is like the party starter, the initiator. And this being said, Lee also has kind of a lot of kind of social groups that she is part of. And this is one thing that I really admire. One thing I admire about Lee is how she's able to, you know, find these groups, be part of them, and even kind of hold kind of leadership positions in some of them. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about these groups and what you actually do and how, what's your technique in integrating in a new place?
Yes, that is a very good question. I think that's relevant to a lot of people, especially living as an expat in a new country. So when I first moved here, I found it really difficult to find sort of an expat group to integrate in. I think about 6 months to a year after I moved to Maastricht, I found Maastricht GGI, which is Maastricht Girl Gone International. Sarah was the first one to start the whole initiative. And I basically helped her with event hosting. And now, like a few years from that, I'm now the community manager of GGI. So basically what we do is try and integrate the expat women into this kind of community. So we do a lot of events. I mean, now it's COVID time, so we have a lot of online events. Yeah, it's basically trying to get ladies to meet other ladies who are also in the same boat and also try and integrate everyone and try and meet new people and get them access to whatever they need. And if they need people to talk to as well, it's quite an open page or open medium for friendship. So I think that's really useful for expats, you know, expat ladies in this community. So yeah, I mean, I've been doing that for a while now, but I'm also part of Pint of Science Netherlands. So we basically started this in Maastricht, I think a year or 2 years ago, with Katharina. And it's also been really, really nice to organize this with all the Pint of Science groups in Netherlands, because Leiden is also part of it, Amsterdam, Utrecht, Groningen. So it's all over the Netherlands, which is also really interesting. And basically, it's people talking about science in the pub having a beer. So it's really casual. It's very interesting. But also, you learn so much about everyone's research, about new things that you've never heard of before. And I find it really interesting. So I've also been really happy to be part of that. I was the events manager last year, I think. Yeah, so I've been part of that, but also I've also been part of another group, which is called VHTO. And that's basically a female mentor program for all the schoolgirls, well, in Maastricht, actually. They also do this within the whole of Netherlands, but I'm part of the Maastricht group. So basically, you communicate your science to high school girls to get them inspired, to convince them or to show them that females can also be an engineer. They can also be scientists. So basically, to inspire young women to pursue their passion. To me, that's really interesting because you get to show the girls that, you know, we're part of something big. You know, we're not, you know, women those days would probably, you know, we stay at home or stay in the kitchen, but now we can do a lot more than that, right? So it's nice to show them that and to you know, make them realize that they have the potential to be something. So
for people who are listening to this and kind of are interested to join these, are these groups just based in the Netherlands or they're kind of all around Europe or the world, or how does that work?
Well, GGI is actually international, so it's all over Europe, or actually in the world. There's also Melbourne GGI. There's also, yeah, there's also GGI in like Los Angeles, for example. I mean, we had events where we had people from Los Angeles, from Canada, from Portugal. Yeah, and Maastricht, it's new, so it's nice to be part of something that started not long ago. But it's definitely something that was done all over the world, and there's groups everywhere. So any female who feels like they need support or friends or, to get connected, they can join GGI. So to me, that's really, that's a really nice thing about that page. So even a Pint of Science is actually also, I think it's worldwide as well. They have Pint of Science in the UK and Germany. Yeah, I think they've had it all over Europe as well. So
I'll probably leave the link on the description of the episode so that people who are interested in joining or knowing more about these groups can have a look for themselves.
Definitely.
You've told us a lot about your life and your techniques and how you're able to transition and kind of like how you're able to make it in this, this wonderful branch of science that you are a postdoc in. And really, thank you for your time. Thank you for your time. And if you want to say something else.
Well, if anyone wants to get into contact with me, I can also post my LinkedIn link and someone can add me. Or if they need any advice with any of this scientific discussions, just contact me. So.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Pop Your Cultural Cherry. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other podcast streaming platforms. To be updated with our latest episodes, don't forget to give us a like and a follow on our Facebook page and our Instagram account.